Good morning, Patriots. Little coffee accident this morning. A few minutes late. That's what happens when you have your coffee and you're half asleep and you knock your coffee grinder on the floor. Yep, it makes a mess. So a mess that can be cleaned up, fortunately. But it makes a mess. So, good morning. How are you? But I still have my cup of coffee. That's the best thing. And that is the most important thing when we start the morning. Or at least one of them. In a time like this, where conformity seems to be the name of the game, and it has become one of the leading forces to bring people to the will of the state, breaking the mold and being a nonconformist is now becoming part of the definition of being a follower of Christ. And I don't know that that's ever been any different. Only now it's considered to be a threat, which is quite interesting, actually. Some of the references to what is going on these days by some of the mainstream media is actually rather profound. Andrew Torba, CEO of Gab.com, sent out an email last night, and I'm going to read you some of this. And it kind of shows you the state of where things are. Now, keep in mind, Andrew Torba is a devout Christian, and it's one of the things that is so powerful about this letter and also what he's doing in terms of Gab. He writes, "In February, I explained the many reasons that the oligarchs fear Christianity. Their attacks on Christians started shortly after the most peaceful protest at the Capitol on January 6th. Suddenly, Christian nationalism was a threat to our democracy. Radicalized Christian nationalism is one of the biggest threats facing the U.S., wrote Business Insider. He adds, give me a break, and then continues on. Their latest attack against Christians is the fact that many of us refuse to get jabbed with an experimental vaccine for a virus with a 99% survival rate among the vast majority of the population. Quote, white evangelical resistance is obstacle in vaccine effort, according to the New York Times. Quote, Christian nationalism is a barrier to mass vaccination against COVID-19, wrote the dimwits at The Conversation. That's the name of a paper or journal. He continues, these people love any excuse to demonize white people and Christianity. Meanwhile, the big tech overlords at Facebook are fact-checking posts with people who are dying from the vaccine. Mark Zuckerberg is also partnering with the government to socially shame those who decide to not get the experimental vaccine with, quote, vaccine verified profiles. Sounds very much like the Jews, doesn't it? Wear a star. Since when is our medical history Facebook's business? The great irony here is that Zuckerberg himself isn't vaccinated yet. Anyway, maybe he just doesn't want to risk his skin peeling off in reaction to the COVID shot. I don't blame him. Risks aside, Christians also face a moral dilemma with regard to the fact that, quote, fetal cell lines played a vital role in the development of all three vaccines. And he continues, perhaps this is why the vaccine, like abortion, has become a de facto religious ceremony for the followers of the demonic critical theory religion that is sweeping Western society. I think that last comment's profound, actually. Whether conscious or subconscious, the worship of a dark lord and willful acceptance of that power in your life has created its own celebratory religion for those proclaiming to have gotten the jab, which effectively is to be receiving the cells of a dead child within them as the foundation for new life. Isn't that interesting? This is a very sad time in the state of the world. And it's a time that we all feel it. But it's equally a time that if we sit still, it's not just that you're staying out of the fight. You're failing in the fight. And one could argue, without saying this is what it is, but I would argue that in so doing, you're failing God. It doesn't matter what our outcome is. I've heard so many claims of people proclaiming what's going to happen. And I'm going to pick a little bit on Mike Adams this morning, as he tends to be one of those. And he does Brighteon. And I like Mike, but I don't like the panic that comes out of his show. And I don't like the headlines of things like their real plan. The vaccinated will die. The unvaccinated will be hunted. Because all that does is creates a counter-reaction of those taking the vaccine are going to be lost in the middle. And it's a lot of unnecessary drama of a reality that is already bad enough. Now, Mike's a nice guy, and I've interviewed with him. I have a lot of respect for him, but there has to be some temperance here in the sort of headlines that we're sending out, especially when we have a lot of influence. The fact is that there is a very high concern for people who have taken the injections that there will be a fatality rate that could be rather stunning. There is no fact in that yet, other than the science, the true science, the researchers, and good researchers are waving the alarm flag to say that this is a major, major problem and that it should be a major concern of what potentially could happen. They have a lot of reputation on the line in even speaking out that boldly. And they're waving the flag because they truly believe that the consequences of this injection are going to be profoundly devastating on the human population. I don't disagree with any of that. But they will also tell you that they don't wish this, and they aren't in any way trying to be purveyors of doom, but quite to the contrary, are trying to be the canary in the coal mine to warn everybody that this thing is coming at us. We also know that a state out of control, once something like this starts to happen, can do insane things. Governments by themselves, somehow people give governments wisdom. Governments are idiots. They're fools. They don't think like scientists with wisdom. They don't think like people with reason. Governments think like scared children hiding from the monster that goes bump in the night under the bed. They don't follow God for the most part. And whatever they do worship, it isn't usually beneficial to the people. So the possibility of some negative things coming out of a mass death situation, which could happen, based on what the medical science is pointing, but they also are very clear. Some feel very certain that it will happen in the fall. Others feel that there's a possibility that it could happen in the fall, but no matter what happens, it will likely happen over a period of time, and that's unavoidable. Dr. Andrew Wakefield is less focused on whether it happens in the fall and more focused on the fact that once this product gets placed within you, there is no question that what's going to result is damage to your immune system, and in the outcome is going to be an autoimmune problem no matter what vax you take or how many you've taken. It'll only get worse with the more that you take. All of this leads me to Christ's walk. Christ knew at a certain point was very clear that he was going to be sacrificed. And he also knew he was going to be betrayed. Yet he didn't waver. He didn't change his course. He didn't create drama. He instead kept his focus on what his mission was, which was to continue to teach love and patience and the many things that go with the walk that he was presenting to people. Our role, as I have been speaking over and over, and this is how I truly feel, and whether or not God would sit here and agree with me, that's not a privilege that I have, but I feel pretty solid that there would be agreement based on Scripture, is that we have a place in this world to extend as much love and grace as we can possibly exude from us and possibly muster, and to remain focused on that mission regardless of what it costs us. These people out here are choosing a path because they are choosing it based on a fear. A fear of what? It's a fear of death. And what irony, because Christ gave us life. This life is temporary. As long as we follow the basic rules of God, love thy neighbor as you would want to be loved, give voice to those that have no voice, help those in need. Above all, live without fear, have no fear, and trust in God. There's other details within those basic laws, that things like, good things like, don't harm children and don't be an adulterer or adulteress. But the principal laws are there in terms of loving one another, respecting one another, helping one another, and giving voice to those that have no voice. And again, above all, have no fear. Having no fear is really not a difficult thing when you're trusting in God. It's equally not difficult when you can accept death. Accepting death was not a difficult thing in my life. Perhaps my mind races and I was able to, when I was younger, I would imagine, sometimes, and this is me, the most horrific death. That made me cringe a little bit. And I try to think sometimes of the most horrific thing that could possibly happen. And I'd usually find a good reason why it didn't really matter. Because in the end, God always came through. But the true understanding of the power of faith and having no fear of death honestly didn't come until that day when a U.S. Marshal picked me up and threw me in jail, or took me to jail. He didn't throw me in jail. Took me to jail. And what happened over the next 4 weeks was where I really learned about God in a way I'd never imagined. Because I was put into a place where one could very well be afraid. There's some pretty rough characters. But what I learned was that just being myself, being to myself, not asking anything, I was treated with a level of grace by those that should never have known grace in a way that, I'll be honest, very few people in the world outside have ever extended. That was humbling. And what I realized is that so many people, when they are at the end of their road, were finally forced to confront the one thing that nothing could never be taken from them, and that was their faith in God. These are people that were openly in and out of jail a lot of their life. Some were going to be in there for years. And granted, I wasn't in some like hardened criminal wing either, but there were some pretty rough characters. As you got to know them, you're like, wow, holy cow. But humbling. God remade me there and opened my eyes to the depth of the human soul and the human spirit. And when I look outside here and I see all these people willfully taking the injection, and I shake my head because they're walking into a level of enslavement because they've never known enslavement. They've never known the loss of freedom. They've never known being incarcerated in a cell. And the choices that they're making are selfish, based on a selfish fear, which is a fake fear. Because in the end, there is nothing to be afraid of in this world, number one. Number two, in particular related to this virus, there's only 1% of the population that's suffering from this, quote unquote, pandemic. And on a national and international level, that is on par or less than the flu. And yet, the effectiveness of the media and the willfulness of the public is to accept their place of being part of the 1%, not part of the 99%. This is worse than glass half empty, glass half full. This is the glass is half full and will never be refilled unless I accept the rules of tyranny. And it's not the glass simply is in this moment, because I can't even see that the reality of the numbers. And the only way that they can start to see hope is driven by an injection made by the very people who made the virus. There's the greatest one of all. Anthony Fauci, part of U.S. Fort Detrick government bioweapons lab at one point in his life, who was part of developing these sorts of tools to destroy people and cultures, who has a patent in many of the tools being used to, quote, save people, and somehow all of that reality slips the cognitive ability of people to reason. And they instead see him as a savior and God. It's stunning. The cognitive dissonance of people is beyond reproach, and it's worse yet, it's a rejection of God himself. When people forsake God in in their life, and they're left to walk alone in this world, they're going to face the world alone. And they're going to have to make decisions based on being truly alone. People don't know what truly alone is like. Truly alone is perhaps no money, no place to live, fending for yourself on the street, and rejecting God. That doesn't usually end well. But these aren't people in that destitute. These are people with financial means, of good health for the most part. Most of them are in great health. But the one part of them that is the sickest of all, and I don't mean as far as evil, though potentially, but definitely the part that is the most ill, is their spiritual health. And we don't have any clinic, unfortunately, that people can go to find out about their spiritual health. And there's definitely not an injection for spiritual health. And yet that's where the real malady is. The true virus is the virus of lack of faith in God. Not just lack of faith. We use that word very loosely. And we like to say things like, I have a lot of faith. You don't have a lot of faith until you put yourself before and humble yourself before God and living through the body of Jesus Christ. Through Him is the only way to Father. Faith is a very catch-all term. It's also a very New Agey term if we're not careful how we apply it. Faith has to be deep. It has to be a relationship with the God Almighty. And it's there that we truly have the power of the gift of what is given to us. Our power and gift that is given to us as we follow that path is not to be selfish about it, but to be bold. It's not to have any fear. I really don't care what's coming. Cross that bridge when we get there. You know, maybe Mike Adams is right. Maybe we're all going to get hunted and rounded up and put in FEMA camps, and we're going to have our heads lopped down on top of biometric guillotines, and we're going to have to live out these horror stories of having to walk down a long hallway. This is actually a real story somebody's put out as what the scenario of the future will be. It wasn't Mike Adams, it was somebody else. We'll walk down the hallway with our friends and our family, and they'll be asking us to take the jab, and if we continue to refuse, at the end of the hallway, we'll be watching people laid on a guillotine and having our heads lopped off. Okay, cool. Sounds good to me. I'll take it. I really will. It's if that's what life is about and that's what God has us there for, if we're all going to be that much of sheep and we're going to walk along and just be like mooing cows, okay, sounds good. I'll take it. I'll take it for a couple of reasons. One is, if things have gotten that bad and there's nobody else going to stand up and there's just a few of us and we're literally just all going to have willful compliance to tyranny, and we'll be in such a situation, so broken down and so unable to fight back, or maybe they're so strong and there's so many military out here with so many guns that if we do fight back, we'll be shot, which would be fine with me too in that situation. Then let's just sing some hymns in the hallway. Let's praise God all the way. And let's celebrate what Christ gave us, which was life. See, that's where we miss all this. And I get so frustrated with the darkness that people want to purvey and share. It reminds me of the power of Wormtongue from the book Lord of the Rings. Wormtongue was the whisperer in the king's ear that was constantly telling him about the doom and the gloom. And in doing so, got him to believe it, and as he got to believe it, his kingdom fell to ruin. Patriots, this is what I know in life. I know this. I don't have to ask God for this. God's shown me this in my life by the way of action. That when we give, we get back tenfold. And when we give from the heart, sometimes God gives us back a thousandfold. It isn't about giving to get back. It's the fact that we're giving graciously and without any expectation. And God is saying, yes, and now I'll give you more to give. And so he does. He provides. It isn't a choice for us because it's what the law is. Or should be, if you're truly walking that path. I know that if we have fear, you're going to be living in a misery your whole life. I know that if you just accept death graciously and laugh in its face because you know you have life, life is a wonderful place. I know that we have a choice every single day to make a choice of living with sunrise and glory in our life, or we have a choice of living in gloom. I happen to be a particular person that loves rainy days, particularly Oregon rainy days. It is an amazing experience in Oregon. The rain is unique. The weather is unique. The beauty is beyond words. I love Oregon rainy days much more than I enjoy sunny days. I'm wired as an Oregonian. And I'm happy with that, by the way. And I've spent plenty of time in the sun. I'm not a desert person. I don't like tons of sun, even though there's plenty of it around. It's not who I seek out. But it doesn't matter what the day is, because the days are about finding the glory in God that in what we walk. I am moved by the amount of beauty that comes in a cloudy, rainy day. The colors, the shadows. Too much sun is like having too much light on your topic when you're trying to film it. It washes out the details. But I still like the sun. I'll just put on a set of sunglasses. We make choices every day. If 100 million people have truly taken this injection, which is possible, that's 100 million people that walked away from God because they were afraid of something or trying to convince themselves that they were doing a noble effort to help the cause of what? A noble effort to help the cause of a man-made substance? If this thing was really as bad as they say, and this man-made creation was sweeping the globe and killing the neighborhoods off like they were saying, or want you to believe that it's so bad that literally you walk outside and you're ready to see half your neighborhood laying in the middle of the street in the cockroach position, going through body convulsions and grasping for their throat for air as the virus settles in on them and just exacts its death grip and steals their life before your very eyes as you wade through the stacks of bodies and have to drive around the corpses to get to the supermarket to buy your milk and bread and cheese and Oreo cookies, because in the times of coronavirus, you have to have your shopping stores open as long as you wear a mask. Oh, and let's not forget that you can't pray, but you're going to be able to swing over on the way home and grab that bottle of whiskey because you need that. Or for those that prefer wine, you can get a whole case of red wine or white. And you can come back and watch the death pile up in the middle of the streets in this torrid view of the world. And cower in your home and drink yourself to death and then come to the realization at the bottom of bottle after bottle that the only way forward is to do the right thing and boldly stand up and take the injection, even though, yes, it will modify my DNA. That's okay. I'll save the world, each and every one of us. We'll be part of saving the world. It gives me purpose. At last, I've been called for this very time. Man, that is like a bad B movie. If I wrote that movie, you would all be like, Barnes, I don't know what happened to you, but I'm not buying that damn film. Of course, if I was laughing in it, you'd buy it because you like my laugh. So that's part of it. That's okay. That's how I'll save the film. I'll laugh in it a little bit. And you'll be like, oh, Bards, okay, there you go. That's what we wanted to hear. Well, I am laughing. And I'm laughing at this stupidity of seeing the world this way. I have empathy for those that are being blinded by the truth, but I don't have sympathy for it because the truth has been there all along and is there right before us. You can find it. And the place it begins is it's an experimental injection. And when you accept a world where they're assaulting Christians as the next great threat and you're complying with that world to try to save the world, I'm just going to say it. You're a damn fool. What world works for the benefit of man that excoriates God and blames his followers for the strength in prayer in healing and claims that they're a threat to national security because they have the wisdom and eyes to see to realize that this is the biggest scam ever put on the face of mankind? And if you're going to believe those lies, you're making a choice of who you're going to be aligned with and who your allegiances are going to be with. And they're not with God. That injection takes you to the route of an idolatry to Lucifer. And if that seems too extreme for those, and that puts and someone hears that, if they're listening and they say, oh, here they go again, that crazy Christian fanatics, start digging. Those words are not words that I ever say lightly, and I sure as heck don't say them for some sort of pulpit effect to try to dramatize scripture in our lives to fan the flames of dark and evil that are rolling around. They are absolute truths of who these people truly are. And when you research and spend time digging, and it doesn't take a lot, and you begin to ask the questions of the obvious questions, well, why is Nike bringing out shoes with human blood in them? And why is it such a big deal to have abortions constantly? And why are we putting fetal cells in our injections? There's a couple to start. We arrive at a point of questioning. And when we begin to question as God intended, we empower ourselves with the power of reason. And if we let ourselves truly function the way we are intended in this world, we do something amazing. We seek truth. And in seeking truth, we always end up at the same place. We end up asking God to guide us. Don't believe me? Try being in a firefight and finding out how many people leave that firefight atheists. I'm going to tell you how many. You can't count them. They're all transformed. Because in that moment when life seems fleeting and it's right before you, everybody in the end, nearly everybody, does the one thing because it's wired in us. They make a plea to God. It's going to be interesting to see how those Luciferians do that because I guarantee you it's going to happen. Even those that say they worship that tower of Satan, you watch. When they finally get to those final moments and all that arrogance and cockiness that they've been running with their whole life, trying to mock God, they're going to suddenly realize in those last moments that it was one big damn lie. And in so doing, they're going to do the one thing that everybody does. God forgive me. God help me. So, Patriots, we have a mission. And the mission is before us, and it's a gracious mission. And it's a mission to be the light and the many lights in this world for others to follow, like a ship follows in the night and seeks out the lighthouse. Let us be the lighthouse. And this is where the gifts and talents all come in. We are given gifts and talents for the sole purpose of being the lighthouse, of giving works to our faith and using that as beacons across this world for the many that are in darkness. Yes, they've been misguided. Yes, they're walking a fool's errand. Yes, they've walked away from God. Yes, they're making some seriously stupid decisions with this injection. No, I'm not going to forecast and say that millions are going to die in the fall. Sadly, I think it's highly possible. But I don't have the science or the expertise to make that prediction. I simply know that in the study of what I have studied, the likelihood of that happening is extreme. And that in itself is concerning. I don't know whether FEMA is going to come knocking at my door tomorrow because of some truth that I spoke here on this. I don't know whether FEMA is going to come knocking on my door because 20 million people dropped dead and now the response to that is going to be to round up every uninjected person and cut off their head. I have no idea. Do I think it's probable? I don't know. That one doesn't strike me as too probable. But does it make any difference? The answer is no. My mission doesn't change. My mission does not change. People are looking for direction. I hear this often. What do we do? I don't know. God seems to have given us all a singular mission right now. Orders came from high, and they're kind of high, like the highest you can get. What are those orders? Love thy neighbor as you wish to be loved. Help those in need. Give voice to the innocent that have no voice. Love is the critical word in all that. Love. And as we shape a world with love and giving, we become that frontline soldier unlike anything this world has ever imagined, because it's not just one of us, and yet all it takes is one of us. But now it's an army of millions that are walking proudly and graciously in the body of Christ, letting that light shine and becoming the beacons, the lighthouses for the many to find, and in so doing, giving the world hope. Because the one thing they need right now is not only hope, but a knowledge of how to leave the darkness. And that's where we come in. We are those places that they can look to find the hope, and in truly finding the hope, be able to walk themselves back to freedom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together to reflect very deeply on the mission you've set before us. And it is no small mission. The tasking before us is built on your laws, which have been here since the beginning. But it's so important now as we embrace that path, to embrace those laws as part of every breath and step that we take, to make every moment committed to those laws, to fortify that flame that will bring light so boldly into the darkness. More than ever now, Lord, let us have that strength to be those lights, the many lanterns across the country, the many lanterns across the world, that in the midst of darkness, people can see and to be drawn to. And in so doing, to set them free and to return to you. And it is through you and through the body of Christ that they can be healed. Whatever your intent, Lord, it is not for us to second guess, but what we are very clear on, and we pray for the strength, the clarity, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the hearts that will never waver as we stand here, of the knowledge knowing that our mission is to love one another. Our mission is to build a fabric of love and giving in this world as intended. And in so doing, transform this world in your holy name. And we say these things in Christ's name. Amen. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. This is not a time to waver and to second guess. The enemy's strong. But any good enemy is strong. Any war without a good enemy is boring, by the way. All you do is sit around. This one's a lot more enjoyable because the enemy thinks they're good. But the enemy forgets something. We've got God. We can laugh in the face of the enemy and do so with grace and know that in the end, I don't care what happens, that enemy is bowing at the feet of God no matter how it ends. So as I say, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. Keep your prayers up. Embrace this glorious path that we're on. A noble path that's entrusted to us by God to bring love into this world. Don't succumb to the whispers that the darkness that likes to put in your head. Keep your armor up, and there again, keep your prayers up. God is with you. He will never forsake you. And in the end, God always wins. Time has flown. I'll be back in about 15 minutes for the next show. So until then or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. There's a revolution.